Good morning, Hope Church.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. Hope everyone got everything they wanted and got to spend some precious time with their family and their friends. Thank you for being here today, and please join in and sing with us.
You are my refuge, my
voices try and tell me I've forgotten and I've fallen too far from His love. But I know what kind of God He is, and I'm trusting in His promises. I'm believing and I'm singing, yes, singing. Did He move every mountain? Did He part every sea? Yes, He did. So yes, He did.
This time we're going to prepare our hearts and minds for our communion. And we're going to ask Eric if he'll take us before the throne of grace.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today to worship you. Give us the opportunity to praise your name. Father, we thank you and ask that you'll be with all those that are less fortunate, all those that are struggling during this time of year. Ask that you place your hand on their shoulder and lead them and be with them every step of the way. Lord, as we take in the communion, we ask you to bless it. As we take in the bread, remember your body and the blood representing the wine. We thank you for each and every one that can give to Hope today and has given to the Lord. And we may do what is in your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's the last one. I'd invite you to stand up. Come on.
Good morning. Glad to see so many faces out this morning. Hope everyone had a good Christmas. And we're going to have some announcements from Miss Rachel. We'll meet and greet.
they suggest something to you. It's gospel. You just trust them so much. You believe in them so much. You have so much faith in them that whatever they tell you, you don't even question it. In a split second, you act on that in the affirmative, in the belief that what they're telling you is the way that it is. If they were to tell you that tonight at midnight when it's dark and difficult to see, I want you to go out in front of the Hope Church entrance. I want you to lay in the middle of Highway 100, and I promise you, lay there for an hour, you will not get run over. You probably have some folks in your life that you'd be like, okay. They would never say anything that would harm me. They would never do anything to put me in harm's way. They would never try to bring me pain or tribulation or trial or difficulty. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out and lay in the middle of Highway 100 at midnight because I know that everything's going to be okay. Well, I'm that way with Google sometimes, and that's not good. I will just plug something in, and Google tells me whatever it tells me, and I take it for gospel. Now, that may or may not be the best thing to do. That's what I did when I typed in war. Just simple war, W-A-R. And it might be news to you. This is something that you don't hear too often, but here it is. Apparently, the longest war in the history of mankind, the longest war in the history of mankind was a war called the Reconquista. Okay? It lasted for 781 years. It's pretty amazing to think about a continuous war that never ended for 781 years. This was somewhere around the Iberian Peninsula. So if it helps you, that's Spain, Portugal, it's that area. Highly infiltrated and highly saturated with both Muslim and Christian folks. And so whether it be politically or whether it be religiously or whatever the case might be, they were always fighting. Always shooting, always throwing, always choking, always killing, always burying. For 781 years, this went on. Now, according to Google, if you wonder what's the longest conflict that America has been in, according to them, it would be the conflict in Afghanistan for some 17 years. And Google says that the Afghani conflict that we have been a part of was longer than the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and the Korean War combined. And so even though it's not 781 years long, 17 years is a long time. And we have some veterans here in our crowd this morning, I know for a fact, who have done military service and been in conflict. And we thank you and appreciate you and we honor you and respect you for doing that. We have no doubt folks who are watching on social media and they have done the same thing. They've gone over and many times, you know, given all that they had. I don't know how many others there are, but I know for a fact that one that's connected with Hope Church is Roger Rowe. A lot of you never knew who Roger Rowe was, but you know his wife, his widow, Shirley, who is here often. She's probably watching right now. And so when the Iraqi conflict happened several years ago, he was one of the first casualties of the war, the oldest casualty of that war for a long, long time. And when Roger was killed by a sniper, Roger was driving a tanker truck, gasoline, I believe. Sniper was on a overpass and shot Roger and killed him immediately. And his partner was in the truck and had to get a hold of the steering, and it was terrible, just awful. And that was at a time when the major news was telling you about every single person killed in conflict at that time. Y'all remember that? I mean, they would list names every single night. But then it got to the point there were so many. And then sadly, in a very insensitive way, it becomes so redundant. Instead of names, you just hear, well, we had 49 were killed in Iraq today, we had 115. And that in and of itself is sad, that you become so numb to that that they simply become a number as opposed to a name. Regardless, 17 years is a long time to be at war. But I dare say that as we think back as we put a bow on the end of 2021, not only think back over the last 12 months, but maybe for some of you, think back over the last 12 years, the last 15 years, the last 20 years. Some of you have been fighting a battle. Some of you have been engaged in war far longer than even the Afghan conflict. Now, I'm not talking about a war that's fought with military arsenal, with weapons of mass destruction. I'm not talking about a war like that. I'm talking about a war with a memory. A war with an addiction. A medical war. A financial war. And this is a war that has brought about a number of casualties. Because you can't get past, because you can't get beyond, because you continue to have internal conflict, somebody decided they couldn't stay with you because of it. They got tired of hearing about it. They got tired of having to be with you during that fight. They just couldn't take it anymore, so they decided to relieve the relationship because that's your battle. I can't be a part of that battle anymore. I can't take it. I got to leave. Or maybe it's a loss of a job. It certainly can be the loss of health because of stress and ulcers and all these things, high blood pressure, that are brought about by these internal conflicts, these internal wars that we just simply cannot get past, that we simply cannot get, that we can't get beyond. Sometimes we have to learn, and maybe this is where we are at in this season of our lives. We have to learn to be able to see things with our spirit that we cannot see with our senses. You see, right now, at least currently, and it's not near as good as it used to be, but today I have decent vision, two decent eyes. I can see you. I can see you with my senses. I can see what you're wearing. I can see which seat you're in. I can see which car you pulled up in if I was out there watching that. But we're not talking about that because there's a lot of things that will get us in trouble in our lives. There's a lot of battles that we maybe could already have fought and been done with that we continue to be right in the middle of year after year after year because we are not able to see with our senses. We're not able to see from the inside. We're not able to follow the intuition that God has placed within us. And that intuition oftentimes has a name, and this is what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that was sent for us. We often sing, perhaps, during Vacation Bible School or where there are youth events, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Have you ever thought about that? I've sang that many, many times. You've probably sang it many, many times. But let's think about the words. "Open the eyes of my heart." What's that song saying? The Apostle Paul would allude to that in some ways. I want you to open the eyes to things that I can only see from a spiritual aspect. There are places I don't need to go. There are people I don't need to spend time with. There are things I don't need to say. There are things I don't need to be a part of that I can't see with my eyes. But this gut inside tells me don't be a part of that. The eyes of my heart are saying this will lead you to a place that you do not need to go. And this will create issues within your family that it may not survive. You can't see it with your eyes. But the Spirit is giving you a glimpse of it within your heart. It's like having night vision. And again, some of you military folks know what that is. You've worn it. And this night vision gives you an ability to see things at night that those without cannot. Right? You can kind of sneak around. We've seen movies with it at any rate. You can kind of sneak around in the dark. And as long as you stay somewhat hidden, you can see fairly clearly what's going on while others can't because they're not wearing these night vision goggles. You see, when you become, I believe, when you become a believer, when you become a baptized believer and you come up out of that water of baptism, and we don't believe that's the only part of salvation, and we don't press that. We encourage that because we believe there are many examples of that. But once you become a baptized believer, the Bible tells me that I gain this indwelling of God's Spirit. And when I do that, that's like me putting on spiritual night vision goggles. I can see things that I maybe couldn't have seen before. I am aware of things to my right and to my left and in front of me and in the rear of me that I would have not seen before, because God gives me this, call it what you want, this sixth sense, this intuition, this whatever, to say, you know, Devin, you probably ought to think about that before you dip your toe into that. Here's what you and I need. Here's what we've always needed, and here's perhaps as we are diving into 2022, maybe something that we can think about. We desperately need God to give us insights in our vulnerabilities, or those places in our lives where we are most gullible, most vulnerable, where we most easily make bad decisions. And we all have those places. We have those groups of people. Have you ever been a part of a certain group of friends that you didn't make the best decisions when you was around them? Don't raise your hand, because you have. And I have too. And you love being around them. They a hoot. They're fun. But the problem is when you spend time with that group of people, your decision-making goes down. You don't make the best decisions around these kinds of people. So just maybe we need to think about, where is it that I'm the most vulnerable in my life? As a young person, as an older person, where is that? Am I extremely vulnerable in my job? Is it creating an issue in my spiritual life? Then you might need to think about getting another job. Now, I know that sounds easy for me to say. You're like, Devin, but I got bills to pay. I get it. Keep working until you find something else, but start looking. So what we need to have identified in our life is where we are the most vulnerable, where we are the most low, where we make the poorest decisions, so that maybe we don't have to fight battles this next year that we should have ended last year. Battles that should have ended in victory last year, but it didn't, because we were hard-headed. It didn't because we didn't pay a lot of attention. We got a lot of battles, you and I both, that we could avoid. Some of you are in the middle of a battle right now. I don't know what it is. Some of you have some significant internal and external struggle. It may be addiction. It may be financial. It may be health. I don't know what it is, but right now, you're like, I'm just not sure about what's going on here. We got a lot of battles we could have avoided if we had listened to the inside as opposed to responding to the outside. Just think about it. If we had listened to the Spirit, and you know what? Sometimes the Spirit talks to you through your mama. Sometimes the Spirit talks to you through your daddy. Sometimes the Spirit nudges you through a friend. Sometimes the Spirit will kind of push on you through a neighbor. And when you hear whatever it is they have to say, you're like, you know, I know they're right. I know I can't find any loopholes in what they're telling me. I cannot think of any negative thing that would happen to me if I followed that advice. But see, this over here looks like it'd be more fun. And I know that I will probably be the exception to the rule if I do this over here. Oh, I know everybody else that does this either ends up in divorce, loses a job, they end up dead, whatever. But I'll be the exception to the rule. I can dip my toe into this water over here, and I'll be all right. I'll be the exception. I won't be the vulnerable one. But my goodness, is that not the famous last words for a lot of us in a lot of seasons of our life? Well, I can, and it'll be okay. It'll be all right. And so the place that we need to get to as perhaps Christ's followers is where we base decision-making process on an internal processing, not external stimuli. I don't wait for something outside bad to happen for me to have to decide on that. I go ahead and follow what the Spirit is telling me on the inside long before that happens. I process internally. And I say, you know what? Sounds like it's a good idea. I probably ought to do that. Probably ought to stay away from them. Probably shouldn't go over there. I'm going to stay right here where the Spirit is telling me to stay. Now we'll say this. God, the Spirit, to my knowledge, has never spoken verbally to me in my ears where I could hear it. But I would never discount someone who said that they had for them. I would never deny that maybe God, the Spirit, speaks to us in different ways. And so to this point in my life, as far as I know, He's not audibly spoken to me. Boy, He's spoken to me in a lot of other ways. Sometimes He'll speak to me through the bad decisions of other people. And He simply says, Devin, just look at them. You can spare yourself pain. You can spare yourself heartache. You can spare yourself loss. You can spare yourself sleepless nights. You can spare yourself no peace. You can spare... Devin, I'm cutting you some slack. All you got to do, look at them. Bless their heart. Look at what they're walking through. You don't want that? Don't do that. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? There is a term... Next, Mary, called progressive revelation. This is a theological term, progressive revelation. And essentially what this means is while God never changes, and the Bible tells us that we were all raised here in that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that I feel, make all that, right? Although God never changes, our understanding of God unfolds over the course of time. So there is revelation within our own lives, right? It's a progression. It's a continual study. And let me say to you, it took me a while to open my eyes to my heart and to literally to the Bible. It took me over 40 years. But the middle part of my 40s was one of those seasons in my life where I can tell you there's no question about that through folks like Patrick Mead and Rubel Shelley and others, and that there was a gnawing inside of me. The Spirit was saying, you cannot continue doing what you're doing at least the same exact way you've been doing it. You just can't. You're going to be so unhappy. You're going to be miserable. And that's not the plan God has for you. And it took me a while. Fact of the matter is, it took me being fired for that to come to fruition. Literally. I would have stayed as long as they would have let me. My family and I loved it there. Wonderful place, wonderful people, still is. But God had plans that weren't mine. And God knew that I would not have ever had the courage to leave because it was comfortable. The pay was comfortable. The office was comfortable. The relationships were comfortable. The routine was comfortable. The pattern was comfortable. Anybody ever feel this way in life? It's just great. But in order for God to get me to something better, to where I really needed to be, He had to absolutely slam the door shut. And that created a great deal of pain in my life. At least for a little while. Pain's gone. Now I see it. I look back and see exactly why it happened. I understand now. And maybe some of you are in a painful moment in your life. And let me just say that as long as you continue to look to God and keep your faith in God and do the best you can, God will reveal to you through this progressive revelation as to why this is something that needed to happen in your life. For your betterment, maybe for your family's betterment, but certainly for the glory of God. Change is uncomfortable. And I don't know that I know a lot of folks who super like change. And there were people, at least in my own life, and some of you have experienced this, who thought, well, he's just changing for the sake of change. He's just trying to be dramatic. He's just trying to be different. When that's not what that was about at all. Not one fiber of that. Now, there may have been other times in my life where that was true, but it wasn't for that one. Because I just knew God was slowly peeling the onion inside of me and opening the eyes of my heart to what I needed to finally see. And thank God He put very supportive people around me, certainly Angie and the kids and others. You see, really, if we think about a progressive revelation, the Bible is very much that way. The Bible is a love story. It's a narrative, by the way. We're not sure sometimes what the Bible is supposed to be, and we get so inundated and caught up in the depths of Scripture. And there's some things that are pretty deep. There's no doubt about that. But if you'll just set 30,000 feet as you fly over Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it's a love story. It's about how God loves man so much, even though man didn't love God so much, God still sent His Son to die for that man, for that woman, for mankind, so that we would have a hope of being able to be reconciled and spend eternity forever with God, wherever that is, however that works. I heard someone, I shouldn't say waste, that's not good. I like studying things like new heaven and new earth and how things are going to work, but I heard a sermon recently where the guy went on and on and on and on and on about how it was not, heaven was not going to be on this earth. How, and I'm like, why do you care? What's it matter? That's fun to sit around and discuss. I don't care how heaven works. I don't care if it's here, there, yonder. I just want to be there. So believe what you want to believe. I ain't going to argue with you about it. But God loved us so much, cared about us so much, that He allowed His Son to die. And so therefore, we begin seeing an unfolding in the Old Testament of what is to come. There was a time for the Old Testament. There was a time for those 600 laws. There was a time for all the things that went on. Yes, apparently, in God's mind, there was a time for battle, a time for war, a time for death of both men, women, and children. Seems horrendous to us, but that's what the Old Testament was about. Read it. We ain't got to understand it. But as the Old Testament begins to unfold, and as you begin reading through Isaiah and other places, you see, oh, but there's something better coming. There's a foreshadow, there's a shadow of what is yet to happen on down the road. And by the time we have those that dark period between the end of the Old Testament and the New, 300 or 400 years, and then you kind of find yourself right in the middle of the life of Jesus, and then things begin to unfold and become more clearly as to what it is that God intends for us. So it's a progressive revelation. And I just simply want to say, with all kindness, as much as I possibly can, if you have never had a season in your life where you questioned your faith, you need to think about having one. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a way to where I hope that you leave faith. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying question what you believe. Don't just take it as gospel because your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, your grandpappy said it, or because the preacher that you grew up with for 50 years said it. You get in there and dive in and figure it out for yourself. You may come to the same conclusion and say they were right the whole long. Well, that's great. But you just might, maybe not on everything, but on a thing or two say, you know, I don't believe that anymore. You know, I think we missed the point on that one. And have a, if you will, a progressive revelation in your own life that will open the eyes of your heart. I heard a preacher say, if we can pay attention to the shadows in our lives, and oftentimes the shadows are the things that we see before we see the thing, right? Think of a horror movie where somebody's in an alley and you see a shadow coming first, right? So you see the shadow before you see what's cast in the shadow. So you're in the alley, you see the shadow coming, and the shadow's super big, super huge. You think it's going to be a big monster, and then some little small kid comes running because they cast a big shadow. Well, if we pay attention to the shadows that we see coming in our lives, we might can avoid a term that you'll hear today on television if you're watching football. We might can avoid avoid unnecessary roughness. You ever seen the unnecessary roughness called in a football game because somebody speared somebody, somebody hit them when they were already out of bounds, somebody kicked them when they were down, whatever. Well, you got penalized for that. Other team gets farther in your territory because you were unnecessarily rough with them. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't in 2021, there's a good chance it will be in 2022. Life can be and probably will be unnecessarily rough to you at some point. And most of the time, we never see it coming. Ever see it coming. Just recently, I got something stuck in my teeth back here. And so I had my thumb in the back of my mouth trying to get this wedged out, whatever that was, and pop comes the crown off of my tooth. Just popped right off. I didn't anticipate that, didn't plan on that. It's back in there now, safe and secure. But you're going to have something that's going to happen to you, maybe even today, that you didn't plan on, didn't think was going to happen. So you'll have to make a dentist appointment this week, or you have to make a doctor's appointment this week, or you'll have to make an appointment with a counselor for next week because y'all going to need it. But we might could have avoided those things. Had I known that that was going to happen, I'd have probably just waited and got some good dental floss instead of back there rummaging with my thumb, knowing I was going to pop that crown off. Had you known, if you'd have paid attention to the shadows, that by going to that place with those friends, that it might cause an issue with you and your wife later on down the road, you might avoid that. Had you known that you went out and maxed out that credit card for that thing that you just had to have, but you knew that you could pay it over the course of time, had you known you were going to lose your job and you were going to do good to pay the food bill as opposed to paying for that big shiny thing that you really didn't need, had you seen the shadow about that, you might have avoided that. And so the Holy Spirit, God has placed something within us that will show us the shadow of what is yet to come. Something that may not necessarily be probable, but it certainly is possible. And oftentimes, it shows up when you least expect it. Some of the battles that you had to fight last year were because of places that you should have never been. And some of the greatest battles that I've ever had to fight in my own personal life, seeming almost all of them, I had to fight them because I was in places I should have never been in the first place. If I had just avoided those places, if I had avoided those things, I'm talking to some of you hearing this, then life would have been much more simple. Then I would not have brought all this stuff on myself that I had to work out over the course of sometimes a long time. Didn't take me but just a minute or two to make the decision and be there, but it took me months to recover from that. It took my relationships months to recover from that. It took my finances a long time, rice and beans, beans and rice, to recover from that dumb financial mistake. If I had just paid attention, if I had just paid attention to the shadows. Wouldn't it be nice, some might say, but you know, different, if we had someone on the inside of us to give us a heads up or warning, like the GPS on your phone maybe. You know, when it first started, they didn't have this kind of deal, but now, and a lot of you who spend a lot of time on the road utilize this all the time, Your GPS, as you're traveling, you've put in your destination, it'll show you that, hey, 15 miles ahead of you, although traffic is moving well right now, 15 miles ahead of you, there's a wreck. And it'll show maybe this red line. It'll show you options to get around that. It tells you ahead of time. It says, look, I'm giving you time. I'm giving you fair warning. There is a wreck 15 miles ahead of you. It's going to be there for a good while. You need to already start right now thinking about which exit you're going to get off on unless you want to sit in traffic for a long, long time. Now, if that's your thing, then stay on this road. If you're not in no hurry to get where you're going, don't really care whether you see them people anytime soon, stay right there. But if you need to make good time, if you have somewhere you got to be, then I'm telling you, there's trouble ahead of time. Wouldn't it be neat if we had something or somebody like that to do that for us in our own lives? Well, we do. Of course we do. If you're a faithful follower, if you believe in Jesus, you've put Him on the back, this spirit with inside of you says, Devin, just a few days, you're going to have an opportunity to go somewhere or do something, and that could cause you some trouble. You might think about that. Hey, you know these people that you tend to spend a lot of time with, well, there's some trouble coming. You might think about that. We have this internal GPS. We all do. We just sometimes do what I do and just shut it off because I don't want to hear it. She's taking me in the wrong direction. She's got me 15 miles out of my way. I'm just shut the thing off. And so we do that with the Holy Spirit. We just shut it off. We just shut it down. Not pay attention. The kings of the Old Testament had men on the inside. They had men like Isaiah. They had men like Elijah. To tell them, as you're getting ready to go into battle, here are the places where you are most vulnerable. And so as a result of you being very vulnerable in this part of the valley, on this hillside, in this city, we're going to show you a go-around. I'm going to show you a detour. Because if you find yourself there, you're going to be super vulnerable. You're probably going to lose. But I'm going to tell you and give you some information that's going to save you all of that. All that heartache and all that loss. Jesus knew that when he left, somebody or something had to take his place. And as we have said before, once Jesus left, we no longer had God with us. We had God in us. Next slide, Mary. John chapter 14. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, Jesus says. Words are in red. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. I hadn't read that verse in a long time before this morning. I was thinking about what I wanted to say. And I found this verse, and I read this verse a couple of times, and the thing that jumped out at me more than anything is the word remind. The Holy Spirit is sometimes not going to unveil something new to you. Sometimes he will, of course. But there will be some moments in your life that he's simply going to remind you of something that you already knew. That you already understood. That you had seen played out before you, your own eyes, in somebody else's life. And the Holy Spirit will nudge you when you're about to do the same thing. And say, hey, wait a minute, bud. You remember what happened to them? They ended up in jail. They ended up losing their job. They ended up losing their family. They ended up losing their reputation. They ended up all this stuff. Now, does that mean that any of that is unforgivable? No, not at all. Get forgiveness for all of that. God will bring you back if you're willing to do so. But the Holy Spirit will remind you, he says, of everything I've said. You know, they'll raise up a child in the way that they should go in there. Oh, they will not depart from that. I've questioned that before because I've seen a lot of folks. I'm like, wait, I knew they knew better. And my version of that verse says, that it will not, they will not depart from, that it will not depart from them. You know. You may depart from the truth, but the truth is still in you. You know better, and you may choose to do different. But this navigational system that God has given us, this hardwired internal GPS that God has given Christ's followers, this Holy Spirit will not lead you wrong if you'll listen. If you'll pay attention when it reminds you of something. Paul says, next, Mary. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 12. I think I got that slide. Romans chapter 12. Did I have a slide? Okay, that's fine. I couldn't remember if I did or not. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. Paul says, therefore I urge you. He's sort of leaning on you a little bit. This is not a suggestion. When somebody urges you to do something, then they believe in it too. I urge you to eat barbecue at least 3 times a week. Because I just think you should do this. I urge you. So Paul is urging you. He's leaning on us a little bit. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, we serve a merciful God, a God who loves us, a God who will forgive us, cares about us. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do that holy and pleasing to God. This is how you worship. Listen, I grew up, and I believe this, I still believe it today. Worship for me was the Tumi Church of Christ from 10:15. Never understood why it was 10:15. Why the 15? But it was 10:15 till about 12. That was our period of worship. Now, wherever you grew up, it might have been 9 to whatever, 10 to whatever, 11 to whatever. I don't know. That was worship. But as I got older, remember this progressive revelation? I come to understand that a lot of stuff that I do is worship. One of these silly things. in my faith, we didn't believe in choirs and choruses. Certainly didn't believe in music in the church. But we always had this thing. I thought it was just the weirdest deal. The most liberal we would get would be to have a Christian university chorus come and sing at our church. So, for instance, Freed Harmony University would sing their send their chorus down to sing at whatever church I happened to be at. Now, whoever was making the announcements would be very clear to let you understand. They will be singing after worship once amen has been said. So it's almost like once the final amen has been said, boom, God goes to sleep, and then you can do whatever you want to do. But not within that worship hour. None of that ever made sense to me even then, but it sure don't make sense to me now. But he says right here, your true and proper worship is being a living sacrifice all the time. So you're going to worship when you go to Save-A-Lot today and stand in line with somebody who you obviously know they need a little help with that bread and milk. You're going to worship by helping pay for that. That's worship to me. Because that's trying to show folks how God lives within you. Let me go on. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like everybody else. I have to tell this real quick. I'll forget where I'm at. But so I heard this morning, I was listening to a sermon, and a guy was talking about how TikTok, he called it, kept calling it TikTok, but TikTok, how early on in TikTok there apparently there was this thing, and it may be out in Seattle or somewhere, where these middle school girls were putting on a lot of lipstick, and they were kissing the mirror in the girls' bathroom. So this was a thing, and it was happening all day long, and by the end of the day, there was a bunch of lips on the mirror. Just all over the place. Well, somebody had to clean that, so every single night the janitor had to clean this mess off. Well, that became a problem. So the principal meets with a bunch of the girls and the janitor and says, look, you guys got to stop this. This is adding a bunch of work to this janitor who already has plenty of work to begin with. And he said, I'll tell you what, I want you to come in the bathroom just a minute. I want you to see what he has to do in order to get this off. So the girls go in there, lipstick all over the place. He gets a commode brush, dips it in the commode, does this on the mirror, and wipes it all off. You know what? He said there was never a problem with anybody kissing the mirror anymore. Matthew Dotson told that. I'll give him credit. So he says, don't be like everybody else. Be transformed. But he didn't just stop there and say, just be different. He shows you how to do it. By the renewing of your mind. I know this is going to sound trite as we go into this new year. And some of you, as opposed to some of us who have said, forget it, we've tried it years and years and years and never worked. Some of you may have the audacity to have New Year's resolutions. Good for you. That's good. We're proud for you. We're going to root you on. And it may involve the same thing that it normally does, health or finances or whatever the case might be. If you want a head start on the deal, this is a fact. If you want a head start on the deal, the first thing you got to get right is your mind. You can have the want all you want to. See Instagram, that's how I want to look. See Snapchat, that's what I want to drive. Oh, that's fine. And maybe you can have all of that. But you're going to have to renew and change what's going on in your mind. And he says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. We have these things in our brains called neural pathways. These neural pathways. And when you do something in your life and it's a continuous repetition all the time, and we all have it, if it's a continuous repetition, you've done it for not just 30 days, but you've done it for months and months and months and months, it's difficult to get out of that, whether it's good or bad. Isn't it amazing how, let's say you actually do pick up a workout regimen, and you're actually still doing it in April, and then you're still doing it in August. It's amazing, and almost all of us have had this experience of getting through that initial, that first few weeks. Gym gonna be full next week. and the week after that. Church might be. But eventually, it becomes easier and easier to just not do it anymore, right? So we've got to change these neural pathways in our brain. And we do that by thinking about it in a very positive way. That's one of the ways. And just not quitting, just not giving up. You get up that one day, you don't want to do it, you just got to make yourself go do it anyway. What you find out is later on in the year, it's not even a stroke. It's just something you do. It's like breathing. It's like eating. You just know you're going to go work out. It's just part of what you do. It's part of your plan, your neural pathway. And so in a very spiritual sense, we need to train our minds in that way. The most negative person, the most pessimistic individual on the face of this earth can flip that and become optimistic and look at the glass being half full by training their mind, by focusing on positive, by focusing on good, by believing that good things can actually take place and they can happen. Changing these neural pathways will change patterns. It'll help us to not end up in places where we have no business being. You see, King David, if you recall the story, he found himself in a place where he never should have been. God had blessed this man beyond blessed this man. Had everything there was to have and more than enough. And the Bible tells us, I think it's very interesting, it's a part of this passage that I overlooked for a long, long time. But essentially it says, while other kings were out fighting, while other warriors were out doing what they were supposed to be doing, David stayed home. See, he was supposed to be out there doing what he was supposed to be doing. But this time he decided to stay home. And it got nighttime, and he was out on his balcony, walking around, saw a naked woman, and then it ended up in a mess. He was somewhere that he never should have been. He should have been where he was supposed to be. And so as we begin trying to figure out where we want to be in 2022, let's begin working on these neural pathways. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, you can meditate, do yoga. There's all these things, and just try to find whatever works for you. But to get your mind in a good spot to say, I am not going to allow any external force to knock me off of this anymore, ever. And it's not going to require just a seasonal change. This is going to be a lifetime change. And I'm not just talking about diet. A lifetime change with regards to how you spend money. A lifetime change spiritually, that we are sincerely going to make spiritual matters important matters. I'm not talking about just coming to church or coming to worship. I believe that. I'm glad when this place is full. I'm glad when people are here. I'm glad when people are watching on Facebook and the Facebook views are up. That's great. But I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning for a couple hours. I'm talking about 7 days. 365. We won't read the passage, but you can go to the next slide, Mary. Matthew 26, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to betray me. I mean, he tells him. He's got this crystal ball, and he says, Peter. Now, remember, Peter is probably best buddy number one. If we had to rank them, who knows? But in my mind, Peter and Jesus were just like that. Whoever your best friend is, that's your Jesus or that's your Peter. That's how that relationship was. And as the end of Jesus' life is coming to fruition, and Jesus more than ever needed his best buddies around him to insulate him as best he could, to love on him, to encourage him, he says, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me. And Peter's answer would be like your answer, and my answer would be, well, I would never do that. Yeah, you will. You think you know me, Jesus. You don't. I will never deny you. And he goes on to say, there's going to be a farmyard animal that's going to make a racket. And when you hear that, you're going to be reminded of what I've told you. And Peter said, I'll die before I'll do that. What happened? You know what happened. That farmyard, barnyard animal that you might eat some fried here in a little bit, it crew. And immediately, just like that, Peter was reminded He was told ahead of time. And life will try to tell you a lot of things ahead of time. If you just sit back and watch and observe what other people are going through, financially, health-wise, married, or whatever it might be, you can save yourself a lot of heartache by not doing what they did to get where they're at. You're being told. So for a lot of things that happen to us, we cannot get right in the middle of it and say, well, nobody told me. I didn't know that if I did that, that's what would happen. That's, you almost can never, ever, ever can never say that. Because you knew better. The Spirit does not create these situations in our lives. Spirit doesn't create them, but He certainly will convict us of them. If we'll listen, if we'll pay attention. Final little thought, as we sang earlier, it may look like I'm surrounded, God, but I'm surrounded by You. God surrounds you. The Spirit indwells within you. And man, with those two on your team and on your side, there's nothing that you can't do and nothing that you can't accomplish. I firmly believe that, from financial to health to relational, all that, but certainly the greater spiritual aspects of our lives. If you only allow Him to speak to you from the inside, be your GPS, and then if you will listen and follow. God, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for this remarkable year. It's hard to believe that it's already gone, that we are in the 52nd week of it. Heavenly Father, this is our last worship together in this what is about to be the old year, 2021. We thank You for all the things that have happened as a result of what You do within this body of believers. We thank You so much for all the folks who have come to know You, for the baptisms, for the healings, both internal and external. We thank You, Lord, for loving us and blessing us far more than we possibly deserve. So today, on this last Sunday of this year, we just pray that You would continue to do those things, but that You would also allow folks to see an even greater light in us than they've ever seen before, whatever that may be, however that comes to be. Pray that You would open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that we may see more clearly the revelation that You desire to show us, especially in this new year. We love You. Please be with those who are traveling. Be with those who are struggling, who are sick. And help us to be a blessing to them in any way that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we super appreciate you being here today. And again, we know there's a lot of folks kind of out of pocket. Again, a lot of you are watching us, and we appreciate you doing that. One quick thing that we've been asked to make note of, and this is a Hickman County event called it's a Night of Hope and Healing. January the 3rd at the Stables Center. Check in is at 5 p.m. Mary, maybe can just leave this up for after. Okay, beautiful. And so this is a motivational speaker will be there, and it's just be a good event, no doubt about it. So you can get more information about that by going on our social media. So anyway, I guess that's all that I have to say. Thank you so much for being here. Hope you had a great Christmas. I'm kind of ready for things to normalize again and get going in this new year. So I'm excited to walk into this new year and through this next year with you guys. Thank you for being here.
All right. Does anybody have any other announcements before we close in prayer? Anything? All right, Bowen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful day, another chance to be able to come together as a church family. Lord, we pray that You be with each and every one of us as we leave here. Give us strength throughout the week to carry on, to be able to be light unto others, Lord, and to be able to make it through even in our dark times, Lord, to be able to reach out to You and use You as our guide to be able to get back to where we need to be. Thank You so much for all of our wonderful blessings. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.